All right, sweet. So, hello everybody, and welcome to the Sidecar Coffee Podcast. My name is Lewis,
I'm Caleb.
and today we got another cool episode, another awesome episode. We're lucky to have Wayne here. Caleb, you want to give Wayne the proper
The
intro?
proper intro here. So something a little different, stepping a little outside of coffee, but sticking with it as well. So we have Wayne Caffarella on the pod. You want to say, hey, Wayne?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
There he is. That's him. All right. So if you don't know who Wayne is, you should. But he is the owner of Drink with Wayne on both Instagram and TikTok with a combined following of over 100K followers. And he's also the co-owner and head roaster at King's Coast Coffee in Long Island, New York. Hopefully, I did that
On Long
right.
Island.
On
On
Long Island.
Long
Oh my gosh.
Island.
Oh, we got to restart this bad boy.
It's
On Long Island. All right. So.
the longest island.
The longest island in the
It's
world, and we're on
it
it.
is it is a really, really long island. People underestimate the
All
length of it. I'm not kidding.
right. So today we have what, Lewis? A sidecar?
Yeah, we're drinking a sidecar. Unfortunately, we were unable to obtain coffee from King's Coast.
Womp womp.
Just kind of crazy schedule the last 2 weeks, but
I
we're
dropped the
drinking.
ball on that. Dude, I was coming home from work and I was like, I really screwed this up. I should have had you guys drinking some of our stuff, but
That's all right.
whatever.
No, that's no, it's not your
No,
fault. It's
it's
our
not. Yeah,
fault.
we should have
It's our
ordered.
fault.
Completely. I was
That
also
was
just in the area. Like I was literally just in New York
yeah.
last week. I should have stopped by and picked some up, but
All good.
crazy last few weeks.
We're
But
drinking
yeah.
a Peru from September Coffee Roasters.
A little Kyle Russell action.
Little Kyle Russell action. It's a yeah. It's a wash Peru. Peru's one of my favorite origins. So I always try to kind of pick them up. Especially I think more you're starting to see more of them in roasters, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Lots of coffees coming in. Also, like every time we pick up a Peru, we're always shocked every single time. And it's always something that we would never order just by looking at it. But then we get it and we're like, oh, what the heck?
Yeah, it's really good.
I can 100% echo that. That's actually currently what I have. We have a Roaster's Choice SKU that we have, and I've got a Peru in there right now that is just, it's knocking my socks off. I
Yeah,
love it.
sweet.
It's one of those regions where I feel like not a lot of people are talking about it, and they're like a powerhouse. There's some
Yeah.
amazing
Yeah.
coffees coming out of Peru right
Absolutely.
now.
Yeah. Well, for a
I
while it almost seemed like taboo to talk about for like 'cause it was just like some coffee was coming out from different roasters, but not a lot, and it's like when you had one, it was just kind of like you just kind of shut up about it, and it was like why? Like I remember like one of my big moments of coffee was with a Peru that someone brewed for me, and I was like, what's Peru like? I was trying to ask more questions and they were like, oh, I don't know. Like, what do you mean? Like, this is amazing. So, but yeah, so Wayne, what are you drinking?
I am actually sipping on a really nice decaf espresso that I just pulled. We got a for our decaf, I use a sugarcane process from Colombia that we get
Sweet.
through one of my guys that we source from. Really awesome coffee. It's one of those that you would not expect it. I feel like people, there's a stigma with decaf, and people are like, oh, it doesn't taste good. This is one that really does taste well. Excels in an espresso. I got that going on right now, and I also made myself like a little flat white, so we're going dessert style over
That's
here
awesome.
with
Sweet.
the same coffee. But
Yeah.
yeah, it
So
gets
for.
really nice notes of like this for whatever reason. You guys know about sugarcane processing at all?
A
Have you
little
done
bit.
it?
I,
Yeah, just a
uh,
little bit. But
for the people listening that don't know, do you want to go ahead and explain it?
yeah, it's a really cool sustainable way of making decaf coffee. Traditionally, decaf to take the caffeine out of coffee. They were basically like rinsing it with methylene chloride back in the day, which is gross,
Disgusting. Yeah.
disgusting. Then the Swiss water process came about. So they take coffee, they wash it, and they basically wash all the caffeine out of the coffee. But what happens is you wind up stripping a lot of the flavor of the actual coffee, out of there. And then there's a group down in Colombia that is processing sugarcane, and they found that if they soak the coffee cherries in the sugarcane, basically ethyl alcohol that is created during the sugarcane process, it will remove the caffeine naturally. Plus, this coffee's now been sitting in this sugarcane juice, so you have this really flavorful, sweet. I almost get like pipe tobacco notes on it. It's got like a really dark, robust cherry,
Yeah.
really, really cool depth of flavor that you don't normally find in a decaf. So I think it makes a great espresso. It makes a great morning coffee if you can't have caffeine. And a lot of people who they do the half calf. I'm 40 now, so like, you know, I'm bordering on the lines of like, I got to be careful with my caffeine.
But, yeah,
right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's great stuff.
Yeah, and then that's so awesome. If you ever see on a bag EA as well, like that's also another way that they describe sugarcane process. So anytime you see EA decaf sugarcane, just know that
alcohol.
Yeah, yep. Just know that that's what it is. And then correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't the stuff that comes out of it, that green coffee extract, doesn't that get used in other stuff as well?
I believe so.
Yeah, and energy drinks, I think.
Yeah.
And other random I know I'm a runner, and so I'll buy like caffeine pills to take before a race. But yeah, it's just, you know, an easy way to get caffeine. But yeah, there's different, I guess, products you can make with that.
Yeah.
But it's nice hearing that that's kind of like a sustainable and more natural process. Because I think a lot of people didn't know what all went into that. And I know I've had multiple questions of people asking me about decaf and, you know, being able to say like, you know, that's the sugarcane process is actually a really good way, and you can still have like really good, beautiful, complex coffee through that. So
the irony for me is I, as a coffee roaster, I've always overlooked decaf. When I first got into it, I was, you know, I feel like it was during that time of like where, you know, the over caffeinated coffee brand that got really big. You know, so it was like the whole like, oh, if you drink decaf, it sucks, you know, whatever. But my thought process was like, you know what? If people are actually asking about decaf, that means they really like the flavor of coffee. They want to actually just drink a cup of coffee. Why not give them something really good, and why not source something really good?
Right.
And you're starting to see a lot more decafs. We're seeing natural decafs come out of Ethiopia now. It's cool. There's a market for it. The dogs are like obsessed with this chew toy in the background. That's coming through on the recording.
I really can't hear.
No, I can't hear at all. No.
Randomly, there's like this like dying. I'm hearing it, but that's what I'm sipping on.
Yeah, awesome. Decaf. It's such a weird world because it's like it's that exact philosophy of like, well, if there's a market, we should make it as good as possible, and that's what people have always gone in with specialty coffee with, and then they always never put that same energy into decaf. So it's really nice to see some roasters actually putting in that same energy. One of my favorite phrases is, "Hey, keep that same energy, you know, on the next thing."
Yeah. It's one of those things. If you're going to do something, like, why would you even do it and not do it well? Yeah, that's just kind of always been my philosophy on stuff. Like I even in my background, you know, coming from the chef world where, you know, just because I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian, when people would come into a restaurant and would ask for like a vegan or vegetarian entree, I'm like, I'm going to go out of my way to put something really good on the menu that they can enjoy, because why would you even just like throw grilled vegetables on a plate and hand it off to somebody? Like that is that somebody wants to eat, and they chose your restaurant for a reason. You should have something accommodating. And that's just to me, like the old school philosophy, I feel like with roasting coffee was always decaf. You do decaf first because who cares? You're just warming up the roaster. You charge it up.
Yeah.
You get it hot and ripping. Who cares? Drop it out. You know, bring it up to the third crack.
Right.
It's just gonna send it through second crack. And who cares? It's, you know, it's decaf. You know, they don't deserve to drink good coffee. Like, you know, no, that's like such a bad philosophy.
Yeah, yeah. 100% agree.
Right.
So kind of going off of what you just talked about, I would love to hear about your kind of past. And kind of the road that got you to where you are now, and just kind of to hear about that background story, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, food and beverage has always been my entire life, like as far as like back as I can remember when I was growing up. My grandparents were very involved with the restaurant business, and I was always in the kitchen, always wanted to cook, always wanted to be involved. And it was just something that I always loved doing. And then got into like playing in bands and stuff in high school, and was just like, I'm going to be a rock star or an artist. And then I always found my way working in kitchens to make money when I needed it. And I really kind of fell in love with working in the restaurant business and found a different type of medium for like what I like to create. And it turned out to be food. And then I got really, really into it. And I had a chef who basically, you know, when I was like 20, 21 years old, he just kind of like pulled me to the side one night and he goes, "When are you gonna get serious about this? Because you're pretty good at this if you actually like kind of you know, focused on this instead of, you know, trying to be a rock star. And I was like, dude, my band's awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
Watch your mouth, man.
Listen, bro,
you don't even want to rock.
You don't even know what hardcore is, okay, yeah, dude?
I'm not taking the slander.
We just opened for Under Oath, okay? So, it was an industry that I was able to get in. I fell in love with it. And then it's funny how, like, things happen in life and kind of lead you on these paths, and then certain doors close, certain doors open. I found myself up in Syracuse, New York. I took a job up there back in, I think it was like 2010. I took over a restaurant up there that was basically, it had been open, it was doing well. Chef kind of ran it into the ground, and the owners were like trying to get it back. My sister had moved there. I was visiting, just met the owner on a whim who was like, oh, you're a chef? I'm looking to hire a chef. And wow, they just basically kind of threw me the keys and said,
yeah,
we're looking for somebody young, talented, who actually wants a chance to, you know, fix things and do things right. So I moved up to Syracuse to work at a restaurant up there. While I was there, I'm in the farmer's market, and I smell this scent of something burning, and I was like, what the heck? I'm like, I've never smelled anything like this. It was almost like grassy, but the closer you got, the more of like this roasted. I'm like, is that coffee? And there was a guy roasting coffee at a farmer's market, this guy Aaron. He owns Salt City Coffee up in Syracuse, New York. Still really good friends with him. But I tried a cup of coffee from him. He had an Ethiopian natural that just like, it kind of blew my mind that it could taste, coffee could taste this good. Had this much flavor, and there was nothing in it. And I started talking to him about why his coffee tastes so good. And that kind of got the gears turning. And he starts talking to me about varietals, where he's sourcing it. He's like, you know, the roast level, how you roast it. He's talking like cultivars and terroir. It all has this, you know, a big play in it. I'm like, dude, you're speaking like food science. I get this. I was like, and yeah, I'm that guy who just has to get, when I get into something, I'm like, I got to go, you know, all in. I got to see this. I got to learn this. I got to, you know, break it apart and then put it back together and figure out, you know, what makes this work. So I wound up going down to his shop and spent the day with him, watching him roast coffee. Got to try coffee straight out of the roaster.
That's insane. Again, like off the whim, like
just randomly. I mean, the play for me was like, I was like, dude, this is so good. I want to serve this in the restaurant. We're, you know, I'm like, I just took over this place. We're trying to revamp. Coffee service sucks in restaurant business, like for the most part. Absolutely. Nobody really cares about coffee. It's an afterthought. It's, you know, most servers would rather flip a table and get a new check started with, you know, three rounds of drinks and some more appetizers. But we were actually, you know, we wanted a complete service. We were doing, you know, sit down dinners, and we wanted people from start to finish to get the same level of quality. And coffee was always just the afterthought. And I was like, dude, if I can serve somebody this coffee and they can have that same experience after a meal, it's just going to blow their minds. And then when they find out it's local, they can go get it. You know, it was like, it was a win-win for him. So we connected, we made friends. And after I had a couple of years later, moved back to Long Island and was working down here. And I was like, I'm jonesing for a good cup of coffee. And I couldn't find anything around where I live that was at that quality. And I was just having him ship me coffee from Syracuse. And he goes, dude, why don't you just roast it yourself at home? And I'm like, I never thought to do that. He's like, dude, I got this little like hot top coffee roaster. I'll send it to you.
Wow.
You know, play around with it, you know, mess around with it. And,
wow.
And like, he's like, it's easy. You could do this. You're a chef. So like I started roasting. I was like, yeah, sure. I could do this. So I started coffee roasting in my living room. And then that quickly got kicked out to the garage by the wife.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, what are you doing? The whole house smells.
I thought that was popcorn.
Yeah. Are we on fire? You know, it's
are we? You're in like a freaking five-story apartment building about to burn up your neighbors.
It was bad. So then, you know, a buddy of mine, he was living right down the road from us. I started giving him some coffee. He moved down to Florida. My buddy Kevin, who I co-own Kings Coast with, he was like, dude, this stuff's so good. This could be a business. Like, he's like, I'm buying coffee. He's like, I'm having you ship me coffee because I can't get good stuff down here. He's like, this is a business. And that was like right around 2017. And that's kind of what spawned Kings Coast Coffee. Gotcha. Was just the idea of you know, it, we wanted something that made you go, wow, this is better than anything else I can get. What makes this better? It's freshly roasted. It's, you know, ethically sourced. It's really good quality stuff. And that was King's Coast Coffee's mission from day one, was to provide roasted coffee delivered to your door. So we started in 2017 as an e-com business, partnered up with a couple Twitch streamers, guys like Professor Broman, King Gathalion. And then we had Darkness 429 and Dr. Lupo before he, you know, blew up. And this was like early during the Destiny 1, Destiny 2 days of streaming. And then Fortnite had just come out. So we immediately had this connected following of people that were invested in our brand because we made roasts for these streamers and they were able to be on stream, talking to their community, talking to their chat and say, hey, I'm drinking King's Coast Coffee. You got to check it out. You know, we do subscription and all that stuff. So we kind of caught lightning in a bottle at the right place at the right time. Right. And it's been up and running ever since. And it's just, it's opened so many opportunities for me to, I was able to step away from my chef job, leave a career, you know, where I was very well vested in it, but was able to just kind of go out on my own and open up my own thing. And, you know, working with my buddies who, you know, we run this business and I don't have to answer to anybody, you know, just doing really cool stuff, making coffee and trying to keep people happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when, I used to be a huge, I guess I still am, a big Destiny fan. I remember like watching King Gathalion. He was just one of the streamers that I watched like for a long time, and like seeing the King's Coast icon flow behind, like right under his like little video cam.
Yeah.
And I remember like checking it out. I remember like that was kind of one of the things that I was like, whoa, Twitch streamers are into coffee. And then I remember like going to my parents' Keurig and like trying to get myself to like coffee, but I still hated it. Like I was young. I was still in high school and I was like, this sucks. But hey, but now looking back on it, it's actually really cool because a lot of Twitch streamers are sponsored by energy drinks that are not good for you. So it's like,
that was the play. We knew we had this market of, you know, people who were, you know, looking for an energy source. You know, coffee is a natural source of energy. You get, or caffeine at least. Whether you actually get energy or if it just tricks your brain into thinking you're not tired, that's up for debate. I think that's the same thing.
But we'll leave that to James Hoffman.
Let Hoffman. It's just like coffee dads do his thing. you know, we knew we had people who were looking for stuff. The big thing for King's Coast when we started is, knowing that if I'm putting these guys' names on a coffee roast, we knew we had an immediate get. So people were going to buy stuff because these guys said it was good. But it was a big responsibility on us to deliver a product that was actually, once people got the product, they said, holy cow, this isn't just like a gimmick thing. You know, these guys aren't just white labeling or, you know, having somebody slap a sticker on it. This is actually a coffee roast. These guys got to pick their own coffee blend. We sent them some samples and I worked with the guys to kind of make their own custom roasts when we launched, and it was really cool experience. And I knew that, you know, if Dr. Lupo is going on stream and he's like, hey, buy this, you know, mouse pad, it's great. And then somebody gets that mouse pad and they're like, this thing is a piece of, can you curse on here?
Do it.
All right. It's a piece of shit. You know,
there it is.
You're going to lose credibility. You're going to lose credibility. You're going to lose that viewer is going to, all of a sudden, there's going to be a little question mark and they're going to go, can I trust what this guy really says? Is he just selling me things because he's getting a paycheck from this? And that was really what, like, the duality of it was like, yeah, we got this crazy following of people that were buying our coffee, but we had the responsibility to deliver on the quality and make sure that the quality of the coffee was on point and up to standards, because it was their reputation on the line. You know, I'm in the background roasting the coffee, their reputation, they have chat people in their chat just ripping them apart for anything.
And literally anything.
Literally so looking for stuff to
just know. Looking for anything. You know, so that was like a big part of the responsibility of launching the brand. But it's been, you know, we're going on 7 years now of
that's awesome.
Coffee roasting. We rode through the pandemic. We actually expanded during the pandemic.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, like, how did the pandemic affect you? Because I know for the coffee industry specifically, a lot of people don't realize that, but there was a little bit of a boom for the coffee industry. Yeah. People were forced to do it at home. So then they had to learn how to do things. And so I was wondering if you guys got the good end or the not so good end.
We got the what worked for us is we had already established the e-com online roaster order business. And then we started to build out, we moved into a warehouse space, and then we set up like a little countertop coffee bar where people could come in, just try the coffee, buy bags of it and go, because locals, they, once they hear about something, they're like, can I come try this locally? And we're like, well, we're doing this at our garage. We don't really have a tasting room or anything like that.
Yeah.
So we wound up moving into an industrial space where we built out like a little mini tasting room. And then that just kept going. And locally, we started getting a lot more following. I have guys on the New York Islanders that were reaching out, and they were all drinking our coffee.
Shout out.
It's wild.
We're Blues fans, but we'll shout it out. It's fine.
That's all right. My season's over. So
ours is too. It's okay.
Yeah. It's just whatever. But it was a really cool experience. And like, we started growing and expanding, and then COVID hit, and it was just one of those weird things where all we really had to do was lock the front door to the general public, and our online e-com business shot through the roof because people are staying home. Their cafes are all closed down. Mail order, you know, obviously Amazon blew up, but you know, people were searching for stuff, and we were able to kind of corner and do well in that market. I had guys who we use San Franciscan roasters in my shop. I love those machines. Love the people behind the brand. Brent, shout out Brent and Bill. But they were reaching out and they're like, how do you guys do online coffee sales? And I'm like, oh God, you're trying to do this now during the middle of the pandemic? I'm like, we've already done it. I'm like, this is just, I'm like, I can show you how to do it, but like, you're starting from ground zero. We were able to just kind of ride that wave into and out of the pandemic. And we moved into a larger building. We upgraded our roasting equipment. I have a SF25. And an SF75 now. So it's just like we're capable of basically handling any volume that's thrown at us. So that's kind of where we're at now. Wow. But that's... yeah, we got the nice end of it. It's weird because now I feel like locally the people want more brick and mortar than they do the online thing right now. I feel like online's a little oversaturated.
It is, yeah.
You can't open your phone without getting an ad for, you know, certain coffee companies 100%. That are all $4,000
grinders.
It's
and
just like
fake ads and different stuff like that. You know, false information.
Buy this grinder because it got sent to me for free, but you gotta pay $5,000.
Mold sucks. Mold free coffee and flavored coffee roasts.
Let's get some mud water, some mushroom coffee if you want.
Coffee. Yeah, it's like it's kind of oversaturated, but locally our cafe has exploded and we've got a really awesome following. And now we're leaning more into the cafe side of the business than just the e-com. E-com kind of kept everything running for the longest time. And then the cafe has kind of backboned that now. And we have this really cool, like, dual threat of a coffee company.
Right.
So who knows where that's going to take us in the next couple of years. But
Well, and also, New York is pretty saturated with coffee as well. So, like, how do you guys kind of balance, like, how would you describe King's Coast culture and exactly what you have to offer within your cafes that other cafes in New York don't?
So the line I say all the time is that New Yorkers and like Long Island specifically, everybody claims they like, oh, I love coffee. I love my coffee. But we're surrounded by really bad coffee options. And what I mean by that is you got the Dunkin', the Starbucks, the 7-Eleven.
On every corner, literally
competing corners. You have two Dunkin' Donuts. You know, it's wild.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of really good craft coffee options on the island and where we are. If you go into New York City, if you're in Brooklyn and you're in Queens, obviously there's some really great ones out there. And there's some awesome spots where you can go. The coffee culture here, it's where we live. The further out east you go, the more rural it gets. You're in, we're kind of in the suburbs. So a lot of people are commuting. Not a lot of people are getting out of their cars. So they just go to the drive-thru because it's easy. They could get their cup of coffee in the morning and go. What we've kind of started to do is we knew we had the online business behind us, so we can kind of do things on our own terms when it came to opening a cafe. We didn't really have to play that game of playing the drive-through. It's kind of like we have the, if you build it, they will come philosophy, where you know, through Instagram and social media, we've been able to kind of get the name out there. And locally, people are coming to us. We're in the middle of an industrial park in a warehouse space that people come to, and they're like, is this for real? Is this like, is this where we're supposed to be?
Is this right?
Is this right? Yeah. And we get it all the time. And it's funny because like people walk in and they're shocked. Mm. Our cafe space is, it's big open ceilings. We got this big, it's black and white and hot pink neons and palm trees. And like, we went kind of like a little off the walls. It would have gotten,
why not? Like
it would have been crazier if it was just up to me. But my partner Pete, he kind of like, he reins me in a little bit. He's more minimalist. You know, and he's like, he does all our branding and our logos and the website design and the packaging. We just relaunched our packaging and all that stuff.
Yeah, the bags look awesome.
It's a really cool combined effort. And that's kind of like the philosophy is we're just out here doing our thing. We want to, as far as coffee culture goes, all the coffee that we buy is either organic or should be organic, but the farmers can't pay for it. It's kind of like, you know, the people that I'm buying and sourcing my coffee from, I shout them out all the time. I buy my coffee from Cafe Imports. Mm-hmm. I buy my coffee from Royal in New York City, Genuine Origin, who is under the Vol Cafe.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're reputable. They're sourcing some of the best coffee in the world.
They are.
Everything we do is specialty grade. You know, and if it's not organic certified, I don't have organic certifications because I think it had its purpose. It's kind of a racket now, without diving into that too much.
Mm.
But when you come to the cafe, it's really just kind of, we have this really cool, it's a vibe. It's, we get all the time, people are like, this is more like going to a brewery than going to a coffee shop. Cause we have big glass window. You could see our production. You could see our roasters. You can see if you come in on Monday, it's loud in there. We got the grinders going. We're roasting. You know, it's like it's kind of like a show, so people can kind of see what's going on, and it brings people there that are like, this is cool. I get all the time, people are like, you know, can we get a tour? I'm like, you can pretty much see everything I want you to see through the glass.
Yeah.
You know, like,
just hold on, bud.
Yeah. What is that over there? That's green coffee.
The first thing you do when you show somebody green coffee, I always have to go, don't put it in your mouth. Because it's
they'll try to chew it.
It's like
rocks.
I'm like, you're going to break your teeth.
And exactly.
Like, and as they're like spitting it out, they're like, you know,
and
like,
then they got all that green dust in their mouth, and laugh at them.
Like, you eat the roasted stuff. You don't eat the raw green coffee. It's the first thing you have to say, don't put it in your mouth as they're already. So it's cool, and it's the vibe that we get. It's more like a brewery. We have fun with our customers that come in. We have a lot of locals and regulars, and then we get new people all the time. Every day there's somebody new that's coming in there. You could tell they're there for the first time. We kind of play the spectrum of, you know, if you want to come in and just get your cup of coffee, milk and sugar, grab and go, get in and out, you could do that. Or if you want to come in and geek out and do a pour over and sit there and wax poetic about varietals and cultivars and processing, you know, our staff is, we try to train everybody, to be able to speak as if they were the roaster themselves. And, you know, everybody's educated, involved, knows the coffee roast and like what makes our things stand out a little bit. And that's kind of like what we built. And it's really just it's a fun vibe, having a great time there. And doesn't feel like work all the time. You know, there's some days where it does, but for the most part, you know, it's a really crazy change of pace from the restaurant business.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun though.
Sounds like
you're having fun.
Yeah.
That's my motto. It's like, if you're not having fun doing it, why are you doing it? You know, it's like, 100%. It's do something else. It's
gotta like what you're doing. Gotta enjoy it.
I
wanted to ask you kind of about stepping into roasting and like the trials and errors of getting into that and how you kind of fell in love with that process and what exactly was it like, you know, building a brand, building this space into specialty and kind of your, maybe like your perspective on introducing, like trying to bring people into specialty and understanding this world of coffee and the supply chain as a whole, but not only like understanding why specialty coffee is important and how beautiful coffee can be. I'd love to hear that like, yeah. kind of story of you getting into it.
For me, like what really made me fall in love with it was the fact that when it was first explained to me, it was explained that coffee is a cherry, it grows on a tree. That was like the first line. I was like, yep. I'm like, wait, what? You know, I'm like, a coffee bean. I'm like, it's a bean. Everybody thinks it's like a bean or a seed. I'm like, no, it's the pit of a cherry that grows on a tree. And then from my background of food and wine, I was able to kind of understand this in a different way than just thinking it. Real quick side tangent. I feel like as Americans, we're so disconnected from the source of our food, source of our wine. We have no idea, you know, like, but the joke was my wife, when we first started dating, like, I would always buy whole chickens and I'm breaking them down. And that's how if I'm making a chicken, she just made the joke. Like, she goes, I kind of forgot that like chicken is a bird. And like, this is what it looks like. It just comes from the chicken packet, you know, like right. that's, yeah. And to me, like coffee, before I knew anything about it, was just, it comes from the coffee packet. My dad drank Folgers and, you know, just giant his
tub of coffee,
the tub of coffee, which I still to this day have to grind coffee and put it into his Folgers tub because he knows how to make it that way. And he's just such a creature of habit.
That's so funny. No, 100%.
He's just like, and like, we didn't tell him at first, like we switched up his coffee. He's like, oh, this is tasting really good. I'm like,
Okay. You're like, all right. So, yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome. But yeah, this to me, it was just like learning the and being able to see what amazes me about the coffee industry is how many people are involved before that cup of coffee even hits your brewer at home. The amount of people that have to touch that cherry, bring it to, you know, pick it off a tree by hand. It can't be done by machine. It has to then get processed, and how that processing is done can totally affect the flavor of the end result of the cup of coffee before I even get to roast it. And then through packaging and shipping and importing, and you got all these guys that are, you know, selling coffee and moving coffee. There's, you know, it's a globally traded sea commodity that I don't think anybody really realizes. Mm. There's so many people involved in this process before I, the coffee roaster, even get to touch it.
Yeah, no
and
pressure.
Put my spin on it. You know, like I feel so bad anytime like I drop a bag and like beans fall on the floor. I'm like, oh
yes,
no,
like, somebody's life work, and you're just like, I'm worthless.
Yeah, like I did it's just like, you know, to make a single like cup of coffee, it's like I think you needed. I did the math. It was like 60 something coffee cherries that have to be picked off a tree by hand just to make one cup of coffee.
Well, and a lot of people don't even realize that like one tree per year only produces about a pound of coffee.
Yeah,
like it's so then
it's wild.
Put that on your plate. All right, let that simmer.
Yeah, and there's just so much more to it. And that's what really drove me in and made me want to get into it. And then when I was the guy, Aaron, that I was hanging out with and I'm learning coffee roasting from him, and I'm watching him, and like, you know, he's like, oh yeah, we do a lot of single origin, but we also do some blends. And I was like, what does that mean? I'm like, I had no idea what is a single origin? What is a blend? You know, and his thought process was like, well, you know, you get a coffee from Colombia. It's a light roast, and this is the flavor profiles that gets. And then I could take that and I could mix that with a dark roast something, and we can get this cool melody of coffee flavors in a single cup. And you can play with the balance. And that's where it was like, it clicked. And for me, it was just like, that's what really drove me into getting into coffee roasting, making my own custom blends of coffee.
Yeah.
You know, single origins are fun. The funny story I have is one of our top selling roasts. It's the Aztec was the gold. Now it's just the Aztec. We get a single origin coffee from Mexico, Chiapas. When we got it in, I'm roasting it, and I pulled samples out, you know, from first crack all the way up to second crack, and I'm trying it, cupping it. I'm like, this tastes good. This tastes good. This is good. This is needs a little more. Too dark. You know, coming. Play around with it, and I kind of let everything cool down. And then towards the end of my cupping, I'm like, all right, I think I got like, I'm down to like these two. And I wound up just putting the two together and cupped it again. And I was like, oh, this is it. This is like,
wow,
it hits. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm like, we got a medium roast and a dark roast of the same bean. We were able to kind of pull out everything I liked about the medium roast, but we add a little bit more depth and flavor to it. And the dark roast isn't as strong and bitter. So like it kind of made this really cool just cup of coffee. And here I am. I'm like toot my own horn. I'm like, I'm the best. I thought of this. I'm a genius. And I start talking to a buddy and he goes, yeah, that's like the oldest trick of the book. It's called a melange. He's like, they used to do that back in the day, you know, when they're in roasting coffee in Austria, and you can only get like one crop of coffee. You do a couple different roast profiles on it, and then you mix them together, and you got a blend. And I was there like, cool.
All right.
I was like, wow. I still thought to do this on my own. So, yeah. I, you know, that like almost like it felt almost instinctual. So I feel like for me, it was a science that I understood. I understood the cooking process. I love being able to kind of manipulate the flavors of a coffee. When I source coffee, I'm looking for something that's very unique, something that's going to stand out. But keeping in mind that not everybody is going to want a, you know, anaerobic processed, crazy lacto-fermentated coffee at 6 in the morning. You know, you got to play kind of all sides of the spectrum. And I think that's kind of where King's Coast has stayed focused and thrives on is we have coffee that can kind of, wherever you are in your coffee drinking experience, if you want to geek out on geishas and you know, crazy light roasts and experimental coffees, we have some of that stuff. We bring it in. You can try it. You can tell me you hate it. I have had people say like, don't ever, that was disgusting.
Yeah, it happens.
But they're drinking it at 6 in the morning with milk and sugar because that's what, you know, they made for coffee in the morning. Yeah. I'm like, no, this is like an afternoon. Yeah. This is V60 pour over ground at this setting at this time, you know, like.
This is very just, acidic, no milk.
It's just, you know, and I feel like we've kind of kept true to that is like, we're respectful of everybody where you are on your coffee drinking path. I don't shame people all the time that they order their coffee at the shop. They're like, do you take anything in it? And they're like, I don't want to offend you. And I'm like, you're going to offend me by not drinking the coffee the way you want to drink it. You know, And then the guy, you know, the guy who orders, you know, his latte, large iced latte, extra shot. We pulled doubles. So you got 6 shots of espresso going into it with mocha, honey, half skim, half and half.
No foam, holds the whip, please.
I'm like, it's what ice. Is that combination, my friend? How did you get there?
There's so many different combinations when it comes to coffee. And like, that's something that we've talked with many friends that we have. And then also on a previous episode with someone that like the best coffee to drink is whatever you deem good, whatever you intentionally, as long as you put intention behind it, it's good coffee. And I really appreciate when someone also comes on and says the exact same thing of like, yes, like just drink what you want. Like, we're not here to judge you.
I might judge you behind the scenes. I might talk about you on a podcast, but I won't judge you to your face.
we might walk to the back. And so look at this order that somebody just freaking like, what is this?
Yeah, we're the weird combo that I've noticed people are doing is like they're getting matcha lattes and then adding a shot of espresso.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's called a moon latte. It's on TikTok.
Don't get it. I think it's not for me.
Coffee and matcha has not mixed well for me yet. And maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe I don't know anything.
But I'm kind of a purist. I'm like, if you like the matcha, wouldn't you want to drink the matcha flavor? And if you like the coffee, wouldn't you want the coffee flavor? I'm like, I feel like they're both fighting and like one is canceling the other out.
It also doesn't look pretty. Just looks
it's just gross.
Yeah. All right. Well then, yeah. So going back a little bit, you said that, you know, King's Coast kind of feels like a brewery, and I guess we can start to really dive into some alcohol now. This is how this episode differs. Let's talk about Drink with Wayne. So if you want to talk about just starting that up and kind of the inspiration behind it and kind of what you hope to always convey to your audiences.
Yeah, that was so the joke or the comment I get a lot is like, who are you? Where did you come from? How did you get this like following? And like what, I don't understand like how you got so many followers so quickly. And for me, I've always been around content. Back in, you know, I used to stream video games back in the day. We used to do podcasts, podcasting, streaming. I was on TV at one point. I was on Chopped on Food Network back in the day. I've done local
what
ads.
Seasons?
They changed it. When I recently looked it up, the name of the episode is called Make a Splash. And
cool. We just want to go watch it.
Apparently it's season 9, episode 8. But when I originally I thought it was episode 9, season 9, or episode 8, but whatever. Season 9, episode 8 is apparently Make a Splash. But I've always been doing content and creating content, whether it be for me trying to be NHL video game streamer, or trying to be like my buddies who stream, you know, Destiny and all these other games that I'm not good enough to be streaming at. But the thing is, I always had people like were hanging out in my chat and very engaged and liked me as a personality, I guess, enough to, you know, watch my content. So when we started Kings Coast, I leaned into, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to start to be the face of Kings Coast Coffee for speaking on behalf of like trying to educate people on coffee and showing, you know, different brew methods and explaining the process of why we do things the way we do and what makes us great and, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I did that for, you know, from 2017 all the way up to, I mean, I still do it. But I got a little burnt out after the pandemic, and it was just kind of like, you know, it was a lot to just constantly keep talking about coffee. And I'm like, to me, I'm like, how many times can I tell you how to make a pour over, you know, before I get bored of it? And it was during the pandemic, I really leaned into just making cocktails at home. Got really into tiki drinks and diving in. I got my tiki books here. There's, you know, the Smuggler's Cove is one of my favorite books. It's, you know, all these classic tiki recipes that are just kind of modernized and upscaled. And bourbon, tequila, rum was always like a thing that I was into. Started making cocktails during the pandemic because we couldn't go out to eat. So we'd come home from work and make cocktails at home, and we'd grill something, and, you know, the wife and I were having a great time. Home bar started to get a little crazy. I had a little corner in my house where I'm sitting right now, and that just like, you know, a couple bottles here and there. And then every Christmas, someone would be like, oh, Wayne likes bourbon. Get him a bottle of bourbon. And then that the liquor cabinet kept expanding to the point where it was kind of taking over. And we have this really like cool unused space in my house. Yeah. When you first walk in the door, and my wife was like, why don't we like build out like a little dry bar here? I was like, say less. And yeah, that's kind of,
yeah. So yeah, you said just, it.
Yeah, you, remember, this is your idea. Can I get that in writing, please?
Yes. Great. So we built out I have this really crazy home bar. And so now I have the espresso machine set up over there. So it's like espresso, cocktail bar. And then I just was like, you know, I made a video. I made a video around Christmas where I was just like, I walked into a Costco, and this old lady was like standing there trying to find the liquor store in Costco, because in New York, they're separate. They're in the same building, but they're not in, they don't sell liquor in our Costcos.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
They're privately owned next to the Costco. So this little old lady standing there, and this mob of people like right before Christmas about to get mauled. And she's
watch out, Granny. Help.
Yeah. She just like, everywhere we go, people just want to talk to me. And I'm a big dude. I'm 6'4". I'm fully tattooed and like big beard. I guess I just have a friendly face and people want to chit chat me. But this little lady, she looks at me and she goes, do you know where the liquor store is? I was like, you picked the perfect person to ask. So yeah, I literally like kind of was like, I was like, stand behind me, follow me. And like, I kind of like, you know, shouldered through the crowd of people to get her into the liquor store. And she's like, my grandson wants a bottle of bourbon.
Bodying people.
And I
got to
get a bottle of wine for dinner, you know? And I'm like, well, where do you have it? So, you know, it
that's
was just
awesome.
Like, this little
action.
Yeah. I was like, I paired up a wine. I picked her out of a nice bourbon to give her as a gift. And then I got in the car and I sat there and I just recorded a TikTok of telling that story, because it was just a funny story. And that video blew up, and I got like a bunch of old ladies followed me on TikTok. And then
that's your audience. There you go.
And then I'm like, oh, wow, I guess people like to hear me talk. So I started posting videos, and my wife was like, just start talking about this stuff. She's like, why don't you do like cocktails and stuff?
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, yeah. So we started doing that, and it was just kind of for fun to see what would happen. And things just went quick. It was like, I had a couple of videos that blew up, and a couple of videos that I got like a ton of followers from it. And I was like, all right, I guess this is a thing now. The joke was always, maybe one day this will pay for all the bottles of bourbon that I'm buying. And,
yeah. or they'll get sent to me for free.
And here we are, yeah, you know, a year later, and just like 94,000 followers on TikTok and Instagram. I just started posting Instagram this year, but that just took off as well. It went from like 1,500 followers to up to almost 12,000 now. And it's just been this, I just post content talking about the things I like. And for me, it's fun. It's refreshing because I always love creating content, and this is an outlet for me to just kind of share the things that I've learned, the stuff that I'm into. And then now we're also getting really cool opportunities where, you know, brands are reaching out, they're sending bottles. I work with a tequila brand. I was just down in Mexico at the beginning of January. Freaking unreal. Like the crew of Cascanes, shout out JP and Edwin and Jose. They brought a whole group of influencers down, literally brought us to Mexico and gave us the most like insanely authentic, you know, Mexico experience that they could have put together. And here I am standing there, you know, in these agave fields talking to, you know, the people that I've been following on social media for the last like two or 3 years. And I'm like, why am I here right now? Like, it just kind of was like this weird moment of you get the imposter syndrome, where you kind of feel like, you know, like, well, what do I have to bring to the table? Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, a conversation on the trip that really kind of rung and struck a chord with me. And it was just like, we're all here to kind of, we're looking at the same thing, and we're all going to go home and create content and post content online. We're all going to tell the same story, but you have 20 different lenses of how that story was portrayed and what you experienced and how you're going to tell that story afterwards. And it was just like, it was cool for me because I got to basically tell a really like touching, moving story. For me was one of the sous chefs I used to work with. He was from Puebla, Mexico. Mm-hmm. And we always used to joke, like, he's like, oh dude, he goes, like, 2 more years, I'm moving back to Mexico, and you're coming with me, and we're going to, you know, we're opening a restaurant, or you just got to come party. I got to show you Mexico. And I was like, dude, I was like, I never want to go to Mexico unless I get to go with you, because I want the real deal. I don't want to do the Cancun trip. I don't want to do the tourism thing. Like, I love the real authentic. I want to be there and experience it. He wound up passing away, so I never got to do the trip with him.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, it's just shout out Gabby. But it was one of those moments where I'm standing in these agave fields. We're about to have this crazy, like, they're cooking over a wood fire, and we're sitting down at this table, and I had this like overwhelming emotion of just like gratitude and just being so in that moment and just like thinking of all the things that got me to being here. Mm-hmm. It was a wild, wild experience. And it just kind of like really hammered home that like, people do like to watch my videos, I guess. And it's the wildest thing. And I know people enjoy it. And that's kind of like what motivates me to keep doing it is because it's sharing stuff. It's trying to be relatable, trying to be your truest authentic self. I don't really put on an act much. People are, you know, they meet me in real life and they're like, oh my God, you're not really acting. This is just you. Yeah. Wayne, I'm like, Wayne. This is me. I am who I am. I'm not like, I don't fake it. I can be a little quiet sometimes, and my wife laughs because she's like, you don't talk to me, but you'll go on a podcast and talk to the hero. Yeah. Blab off for, you know, 2 hours straight. But it's just, I guess I'm comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And I like to keep things relatable and just talk about the stuff that I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm. So also, through that, you're providing an education. You're providing yourself as a resource, which is awesome. And that's literally what we'd love to do. Like that, there's nothing more rewarding than someone being able to say to you that they learned something from you. And you're like, what? Like, I learned this from this guy. And like, what? This is weird.
And I had this experience when I first started posting, talking a lot about bourbon. And, you know, obviously there's people who have been in that space talking content and making videos. And I got a little bit of like pushback at first because people were like, you're saying the same stuff that's already been said 100 million times. And I'm like, all right, yeah, but I'm telling it through what I've learned. And here's my take on it. Just because, you know, like, obviously bourbon has rules and those rules have been written for a very long time, but not everybody knows that. And, you know, when you say things like coffee's a cherry, it grows on a tree. You're going to hit somebody with like this bomb that like, I didn't know that. Like, you're putting your content out there for people to see. Are you not? Like, I don't understand there's almost like there's some elitism where it's like, well, I've already done that video once, so it never needs to be done again. And I'm like, first of all, 10,000 people watched your video. Do you know how many people there are in the world? Exactly. And then every time you post, it's like you're reaching a potentially brand new audience of people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who never even, they don't know who you are. They don't know who I am. They don't know. They might not know Buffalo Trace is, you know, but yeah, like, it's exactly. Just, it's one of those things where you just, you put the content out there and you never know. You're going to get that one person who comes across the video and goes, huh, I never thought of that. And then they're going to start their own next journey and going in. And I have people all the time, like DMing me pictures like, yo, I just found Fortaleza tequila. You were telling me about this bottle of bourbon. I just got it at my local. And like, I'm like, dude, congrats. I'm like, you're going to love it. You know, it's cool. It's just like this network of people. And I feel like we're all kind of just like, you know, obviously social media is something truly unique to our generation, and I feel like how we use it and versus even the newer generation, they use it completely different. But to me, it's like, it's this community of people who are all kind of in on the same things, and why not share? You know, like the joke is all the time, people are, they're like, oh, you only talk about good stuff on your TikTok, you never say anything's bad. And I'm like, well, I say stuff's bad, but I try to only talk about the good things, because why do I want to spend my time or my money buying crappy products and talking about it? I want to put
them talking about it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to give them a platform. I want to put you onto the good stuff. Mm-hmm. So
exactly,
you know, if I can open your mind to, here's a couple bottles that you should try. That's kind of like the premise of the Drink with Wayne channel, I guess. But it's been wild. Now I'm going to Buffalo Trace next week to do a barrel pick. Oh.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Kevin C on TikTok, he goes by Bourbon Notes. He's on Instagram as well. He won a Weller Full Proof barrel from Buffalo Trace. So we're going down. It's a group of us going down to pick a Weller Full Proof barrel. And I'm like, once again, here we go. Imposter syndrome. I'm like, cool. It's just like, here we are. You know, my wife's like, the amount of stuff, like, I just got an email today. I can't say what it is, but I was laughing and I'm like, I guess I have to do this, right? And she's like, yeah, you do. And I'm like, man, sorry, I guess I'm going and I'll see you later. it's been wild. It's opened up some crazy opportunities. And just to me, it's like, if I get to share these stories and meet new people and experience these things and then give you my spin of like what I got to see. So you're going to get to see a Buffalo Trace barrel pick through my perspective, through four or five other creators that are going on the trip and doing it. You know, you're going to get to see that experience firsthand. Yeah. If you follow us on social, you might follow one guy and not follow the others. Like, it's just really cool to see different people's perspectives of how they create content.
I think that's something that's really cool within the social media space is getting to know like people's personalities. And I think that's something that's really special, especially about your content, is like portraying your true personality and being true. Especially with the information that you're portraying and putting out there.
One of my favorite creators, like just content creators, was Chris Baca from Cat and Cloud Coffee.
Yes. We know.
Like, I love that dude. Like, and like, he is just himself. That is who he is. He's like, you know, doing videos talking about skateboarding and stuff, like, you know, like it's real.
And cars and stuff. Yeah.
And cars. Yeah. Like, that's how I met my wife in the bar scenes back in the day. But
that's cool.
It's just funny. Like there's all these things, like, I feel like I'm the guy who's into like everything. But being able to kind of share that and put that out there, and then people connect with that when you show them like, this is what I do on a day to day. You know, there's people who follow my channel and have no idea that I roast coffee for a living until I tell them about it. You know, it's just because like I'm I tried to kind of separate them a little bit, just kind of so I have the business and the fun. I didn't want it to be, hi, I'm Drinker Lane, please buy my coffee, and here's a cocktail recipe. You know, like, I didn't want to. I was like, I got comments from like people seeing like if I wear a King's Coast shirt, they're like, oh, King's Coast, I love Tim's coffee, and I'm like, I'm glad you do. Yeah. So I'm like, thanks so much. I'm like, I hear their roasters are really cool, dude.
Yeah, I like it.
And then people like, they go down and go, oh my god, I didn't realize.
Wait a minute.
That's literally exactly how I figured out that you were the roaster, because I followed you like Drink with Wayne, and then I followed King's Coast, and then I saw a video where you were presenting a new blend, and I was like, Now, wait a minute.
Let me put it all together real quick.
Yeah, let me connect the dots here.
King's Coast has got a lot of money, and they're paying this Drink with Wayne guy to pimp their coffee. It's great.
It's all a scam.
It's all a scam. Yeah. Nope, not getting paid. Just, well, I do make a paycheck, but yeah.
All that story is really cool, man. I think that's something that's, you know, going back to what we kind of talked about at the beginning of the episode, just like kind of a lot of people don't really know anything about, you know, whether it's coffee, which is what some people need, you know, in their day to day, but they don't really know anything about or the process of it or alcohol. And people love to, you know, to consume basically in the entire kind of food and beverage industry, not really knowing a whole lot about the process behind how you get that final product. That a lot of people live for. So I think it's really cool, you know, having that platform to talk about it, educate people on the processes behind that, as well as, you know, the good products that are out there with sustainable brands and different stuff like that. So
I think that's like you just hit the nail on the head right there. It's like that consumer mentality of like, I just drink my coffee. It comes from the machine. Take. Yeah. Like it's just, I don't, you know, there's information out there. And I think that's kind of really what got me hooked on coffee originally, was the fact that because of the internet and because of other creators who are putting content out there talking about all this stuff, I was able to learn about coffee in a way I'd never, I think maybe 10 years prior, a lot of this information was gatekept and you weren't able to get this information, but you have people like James Hoffman who are putting out books, Scott Rayel, and you know, even Chris Baca. Like, he was just a dude who started a coffee shop and like, I'm going to just document the process and put the information out there. Not an expert. This is what I'm learning as we go. You know, we make mistakes. And I think that's a big thing, you know, with King's Coast is like, we always have the, you know, it's like, it's, we just kind of grip it and rip it. It's like that mentality of like, we'll figure it out as we go. Mm-hmm. We might not know the answer right now. People are always like, you know, it's like, oh, is this something you could do? I'm like, I'll figure it out. Sure. You know, sure.
To be determined.
Yeah. And then we'll do it. And then halfway through, we're like, this sucks. We should not have done things this way. Let's rework that. And then eventually we'll get to the point where we have things the way we want to be doing. Mm-hmm. But the being able to kind of just go out on a limb, risk it, and just learn from your mistakes and also learn from other creators that are out there. There's so much information out there. So if you're like sitting at home and you're like, you hear people talking about coffee and you're like, I want to learn a little bit more. Or, you know, if you want to get into coffee roasting, there's so much more resources now where you go take classes in schools and
exactly,
you know, make friends with a guy who roasts coffee and then go, hey man, could I just come hang out with you for the day?
I roast coffee for I'm our head roaster at the company I work for. And it's my journey so far. I'm only 22, so it's like my journey has been very short, but it's like it's so gatekept. Like, we're just now getting to a point where the roasting side of coffee is kind of being more, there's more transparency in it. I always reference Onyx whenever I think about transparency, but they just put out like a thing where it's like, when you get a coffee, you can look up the batch number and they'll show you the curves. They'll show you the curves, the charge temp, the drop temp, everything in between, and the employee who roasted it. And it's like, that's just awesome. So it's becoming,
that was when I was getting into it. That was like, just, I was like, can I just see what your curve looks like? Just so I know if I'm like,
what's the baseline?
Like, what I learned is like the baseline is not the same for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the machine that you're roasting on,
right.
the varietal, all the different effects. But like, I was like, can I just see what one looks like? So I can at least just kind of like get an idea and. Yeah, like a frame of reference, and then I will put my own spin on it. The way I always say it with coffee, right? We're all buying from the same people. Like guys who, like, I'm like, we're all sourcing from pretty much the same group of farms. You might get a better lot, or you know, you might get top pick or top priority, but we're all pretty much getting the same stuff. And we're all pretty much doing the same thing. But it's going back to that whole storytelling is like, how I roast that coffee is how I tell this coffee story. And you are able to, if I get something that's got some like fruity notes in it, I want that to stand out. My roast profiles that I do here on the East Coast are going to be totally different than what they're doing on the West Coast. The guy Brent from San Francisco, when he was helping me install the SF75, he made the joke that like, my medium roast is his dark roast. Yeah. And I'm like, well, you guys like to drink like super vinegary grass water.
Wheatgrass,
out there.
Yeah.
And I go, and here on the East Coast, I'm like, it's cold in the winter. I need a dark roast that's going to, you know, stand right up to that. And I feel like the coffee industry, like it happened in craft brewing. It's happened in craft spirits. The pendulum always swings. So like finding that middle ground of like just making sure that the cup of coffee that you're roasting is balanced, it's flavorful. You're highlighting the key tasting notes and cupping notes and telling that story and doing it in a way that's respectful to the people who farmed it, the people who picked it, the people who sourced it, the people who shipped it. You know, that's a big part of the coffee culture, and how we all tell that story is going to be a little bit different, even though we're all doing the same freaking thing. Like it's just, we're taking green coffee and we're roasting it, whether we're finishing it at 405 in 8 minutes, or if, you know, you take your, you know, light roasts like me, some of my roasts, they come out at 12 minutes and they're a light roast because I like to just draw out that sugar stage. And I want that thing to be super sweet and balanced.
Right.
And you can actually pull a pretty depth, you know, flavorful, a lot of depth and complexity shot of espresso instead of it just being, you know, get it up hot and fast and then drop it as soon as it hits first crack. There's nuance. There's different ways of doing it. Nobody's really right or wrong. It's just, you know, as long as, you know, you're doing what you think is respectful to that coffee.
Absolutely. So,
It also just goes back to, I mean, this is something that we literally just talked about in our last episode about just perspectives. Like, we will never get tired of hearing different perspectives, seeing different perspectives. Like you said, you went on this trip and that trip's going to be told five different ways. And, you know, it might get told to 10,000 people here, 10,000 here and here and here. But those are five different groups of 10,000 people. And also, you might have a little bit of crossover with your fan base, but it's probably not the same 10,000 people. It goes back to what you just said, that the world's huge. You know, there's so many people on social media, and perspective really, just keep an open mind. Like, don't be so close-minded.
But I think we can all agree that there's certain companies that suck and that people could be drinking better coffee.
Absolutely. People can be drinking better coffee, better bourbon, better tequila, better everything.
There's everything out there. You know, that's the one thing I am never afraid to say, like, this sucks. I've even had a couple of videos where like I recorded and somebody sent me some stuff and I was just like, I reached back out to them. Like, I can't post about this. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm like, my personal integrity, I feel like I'm doing you a disservice if I just say, oh, this is great. I'm like, I'm never gonna compromise my integrity for just, you know, the sake that you sent me a bottle. I'm like, sorry, no thanks. If you want me to send it back or if you want me to give it away, like, I'll do that. I'm like, but I can't do this. But I'm not afraid to say stuff is like, it could be better, you know, like, and I think that's the biggest thing is, the chef I used to work with, his famous line is he wouldn't tell you suck, but he would just do it in a way where he'd come up to you and be like, you're better than that. And you're like, you're like, all right, you know, don't say
kind of like, no, you didn't mean that. I got you.
It was just like, okay, I'll lock it in. I am better than that. We're better. You know, he would like, we're better than that. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah, we are.
I'll do it over. I'll do it over.
It's all about accountability.
Go ahead.
if you have an audience that you have to, in a way, protect. I mean, if you have like Jim in Tennessee that watches you every post and buys a bottle of tequila that you weren't a fan of, but you were like, oh, I'm going to post about it anyways because I'm scared to tell these people it's not good. Like, and then Jim's like, hey, Wayne, what is this? Well,
it kind of goes back to that same thing of you talking in the beginning of having those roasts for the specific streamers.
Yeah, for the streamers.
Like, you don't
want to put... that's a big thing. It's your integrity is everything, right? And then once you sell that, you're like, now you're just kind of, you're faking it. You know, I get called out every now and then because there are a couple brands that I work with where they pay some bills for me. You know, like, and they do sponsored posts and I talk about them. The only reason why I'm talking about them is because I've already vetted them out. They check all the boxes of everything that meets my standards. And I think as long as you're And I posted a couple of videos talking about that where, you know, like Cascana's tequila. They pay me to do monthly posts talking about their tequila. The only reason why I do those posts is because I actually really enjoy it. I think it's quality made. It's something that is, they're doing something different. It's kind of moving the needle. And then getting to go down to Mexico and see exactly how it's done. And I'm like, even more so now, I was like, you got a soldier in me, you know, like that was the whole idea was like, let's show you the process. Let's, you know, you get to see everything. We're not, you know, there's nothing that's and behind closed doors.
Exactly. I think that's very special within, you know, a brand doing anything, you know.
Transparency is everything.
Exactly. Transparency is everything.
You know, and then that's even with coffee. Like I always say to people, I'm like, you can tell who's white labeling coffee or coffee companies that don't roast their own coffee. Just go on their Instagram. You won't see a picture of their roaster.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the stock image of like beans in a cooling tray. Like, I'm like, well, like you come to my shop, you can see me. I'm roasting through the glass. You know, sometimes sometimes I feel like
you're on display here.
I'm on display. People are watching me through the glass and I'm like, all right, I can't be picking my nose or whatever. But
let me make sure I got a belt on.
Did I wear pants today?
That's awesome.
But it's just like the transparency is everything, and then just being respectful of like, you know, just you know, you can't sell yourself out just for a dollar. Like the thing, especially when it comes to the Drink with Wayne channel and starting to do paid promotional work and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't really need to do it. If brands want to pay me to talk about stuff, that's awesome. But I'm not out here chasing down all these like endorsement deals. Like, hey, try this bathwater tequila. You know, it's great. You know, just,
yo, I got The Rock here.
I mean, if The Rock wants to pay me to come down and we can sure. talk about why his tequila could be made better, I would love to do that. Kylie Jenner and her 818 stuff, if they want to actually have a conversation,
thumbs down,
or just pay me a check, you know, I'll go away forever. But
there's a price. It's like, hey, The Rock, if you want to give me your house.
I'll take it.
Cool. It's getting kind of late for you, so we'll start wrapping it up. It's 9 o'clock where Wayne is. It's past his bedtime, guys. So let's just hit a few things. Talk about New York. So first of all, were you born in New York?
Yep, born and raised. I live in the town I grew up in. Basically, where Long Island, very very Long Island. Like kind of right smack dab in the middle. If you look at it, it looks like a fish. We're right in the middle. I grew up on the south shore of Long Island. My father was a clammer fisherman.
That's cool.
So that's the nautical thing. It's just been my entire life. But yeah, moved around, toured around the country, played in a couple bands, and got to see some other places. Did a stint down in Florida, did a stint up in Syracuse. Thought I would live in Boston and then wound up just back on Long Island, and here we are.
Right. All right. So just a couple quick questions. What's your favorite coffee spots in NYC besides Queens Coast?
Obviously. Yeah. I do love to go out and check out other places. Locally near me, we have a couple. There's a place, Druthers, up in Stony Brook. If you go into the city, Devotion's a really cool coffee shop that looks amazing, and they're sourcing their coffee. Another one that my wife loves because it's just a beautiful aesthetic place is Felix Roasting in New York City. They have some, you just look at their Instagram, it's like, it's just their cafes are insane. I'm like, they're like glam cafe. they're cool spots, but for the most part, like, we usually just drink our coffee at home in the morning, I don't even make coffee at home. I just make it at the shop when I get to work.
Right. What's like your favorite bars close to you, like doing unique cocktail things, or
bars? We have bars and breweries too.
Okay. So breweries, we have Blue Point Brewing Company, and Greenport Brewing. And then there's another group that's called Sand City. Sand City is like really into the craft scene, really crazy IPAs and all that stuff. If you're into that, I was really big into craft beer for the longest time. And then I really just switched to, I'm just cocktails and hard liquor. Mm-hmm. and now it's like, it's, oh. it's, you know, just
done with the kid stuff now.
Yeah. My whole thing is like, I'd rather have like one or two really good cocktails than like have like three or four beers. They're so filling.
Yeah,
100%. And then talking about like craft beer, I feel craft beer got so out of control. And then now I feel like it's starting to swing back. Like if I'm going to drink a beer, give me an Amagansett, give me a Czech Pilsner, something light, crisp, refreshing.
Clean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I want to drink. German lagers, and like that's where I'm at as far as beer goes. I do enjoy the occasional like crazy fruited, you know, triple dry hops IPA.
Yeah.
When I want like one beer for the week.
Yeah, because that'll be
when
like
I just absolutely blow out your palate real quick.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm with drinking pine needles and stuff. It's great. but locally we have a really good there's a couple of really good cocktail bars that are doing things right. I'm going to my favorite spot on Long Island is this place called Bricks and Rye. It's in Greenport, New York, which if you're looking at the fish, the Long Island fish, it's the last town on the island on the North Fork is Greenport. On the South Fork, it's Montauk. And then it's called Bricks and Rye. And I never knew about this place. There's a pizza bar above it where they do like brick oven pizzas. And my wife and I, we love going out to Greenport. It's like our favorite place to go. Just when we want to spend a day, we go take a ride out east and, you know, go antiquing and whatever, and just hit up a couple of vineyards, hit a brewery, and then end up at Bricks and Rye. Well, we used to end up at this pizza bar. And then my friend Morgan, who owns a restaurant called Salt and Barrel on Bayshore, amazing cocktail bar, amazing seafood. He was joking around. He's like, dude, you gotta try. He's like, you like pizza? You gotta try this place in Greenport. I'm like, dude, I know about it. I'm like, the pizza. I'm like, 1940 pizza bar. I'm like, they do a clam casino pizza. So it's basically bacon, peppers, and clams chopped up on a pizza, and it's just, it's killer. Wow. And I'm like, dude, you gotta try it at 1940 pizza bar. He's like, no, dude, you gotta go to Bricks and Rye. They have the best one. And I'm like, there's no way it could be better than the one I'm talking about. So one night we went out. He's like, I'm gonna take you guys there. We'll go out, and we found out that the pizza bar's here, and then there's a secret side door. You go downstairs, and there's like a speakeasy bar.
Wow.
About 10 seats at the bar, maybe 20, like five tables, and it's the same pizzas upstairs. You can get them delivered downstairs.
Oh, there
and
it is.
There's this guy Evan who is the cocktail like guru. He's like,
he's a wizard.
He's a wizard. Yar, he knows. He remembers what you drank the last time you were there.
Yeah,
and he'll make you custom drinks like off the top of his head. He knows I'm into tiki drinks, so like every time I'm there, he's like, "You got to try this. You got to try this."
That's so awesome, man!
And it's just a really cool vibey spot. So you're on Long Island and you don't know Bricks and Rye, you're missing out. Bricks and Rye, Salt and Barrel, and also Coastal and Verde. Make sure it's really good spots.
Very cool.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Well, again, like, thank you so much for being on here.
We appreciate your time.
It's awesome, you know, getting perspectives of new people and just meeting really awesome people in this industry. I think regardless of, you know, the whole food and beverage industry is filled with people who are just passionate about it. And so it's awesome to hear, you know, people's stories and what drives them and being able to build this community up and kind of portray, you know, different experiences and perspectives. So I think that's like something that's really beautiful. And we appreciate you being on here and talking and sharing that and your story. So again, thank you.
Thank you guys for having me on. Awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, man. We appreciate you. All right, guys. We'll be back next Monday with, I don't even know what with.
Stay tuned to find out.
Yeah, it's late. See you guys.